This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Jackie Leiden.
Your government failed you. Those entrusted with protecting you failed you. And I failed you.
I believe the title was Bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States.
I want to make it clear that nobody wants to discriminate against gays. We, simply put, want to preserve traditional marriage.
I concluded, that genocide has been committed in Darfur and that the government of Sudan and the Janjaweed bear responsibility.
We here still move in twilight, but we have one beacon to guide us that Ronald Reagan never had. We have his example.
There was sadism on the night shift at Abu Ghraib. Sadism that was certainly not authorized.
We're going to build alliances. We're not going to go unilaterally. We're not going to go alone like this president did.
Tell Tony Blair we're going alone. Tell Silvio Berlusconi we're going alone. Tell Alexander Kwasniewski of Poland we're going alone. Got 30 countries there.
Now that he has gone, both Israelis and Palestinians must make even greater efforts to bring about the peaceful realization of the Palestinian right of self-determination.
Why don't we have a new Ukrainian president yet? Because you stole 3 million votes. You believe in God, don't you? You know you're not supposed to steal, not factories and not votes.
Voices from 2004. Richard Clark, Condoleezza Rice, Senator Orrin Hatch, Colin Powell, Margaret Thatcher, former Secretary of Defense James Schlesinger, Senator John Kerry, President Bush, Kofi Annan, and Viktor Yushchenko. Senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us to talk about the year's news. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Jackie.
How would you sum up 2004? That seemed like an especially sobering litany.
Well, I'll tell you. I would have been prepared until last Sunday to say, very cleverly, that this was the year of the ballot, the bomb, and the bullet. But now, without any alliteration, there is the devastating tsunami making a mockery of all the designs of mankind.
Is there something unique about this disaster, its magnitude, the way it came about?
Well, certainly in its magnitude, certainly it is the greatest disaster we've suffered from elemental natural causes for many and many a year. But I think there's also another side to this that makes it unique, and that is I think it is one great event for which nobody can level blame and say, if you had signed the Kyoto Treaty, if we had only had something against pollution. There are all these things for which immediately become partisan. This is a uniquely nonpartisan event and should evoke a uniquely nonpartisan response.
Dan, let's turn towards the ballot. There were a great many crucial elections, scheduled elections, in this last year, starting with what went on most recently in the Ukraine.
Right. One of the things one should mention is that there has been in this past year, in spite of all the troubles that have been, there has been also a spread of democracy. It's quite remarkable that Ukraine, once a part of the Soviet Empire, only recently become independent, is now not only independent, but wants to be democratic. And so in spite of the fact that apparently poison was given to the opponent running for president of Ukraine, Yushchenko, in spite of that, they go on, they challenge, they go to the courts, and the courts do things that you would think would happen only in very democratic countries. So that Ukraine stands as one of the great pluses of the past year.
What about other places? Russia had a rather extraordinary election. Yes. India had an election. Yes. Georgia.
Yes. And you can add a couple. It's true. In the Russian election, Russia appears to be sliding back to some kind of authoritarian rule. And President Vladimir Putin ran for re-election and got a 71% majority, quite spectacular, in spite of the fact that he's been very tough. He's tried to almost renationalize their oil companies and all, but that's the way the Russians seem to be going. Not so good. Georgia, however, again, one of the former Soviet satellites, part of the Soviet Union before, now has an election, has a fairly advanced, progressive president and is doing pretty well. India, the greatest democracy in the world, the opposition has scored some gains because there was the poor against the rich in India. And then the Palestinians, who are on the verge of an election, which could be very important. There's Mahmoud Abbas, who is to, apparently, if he wins, will take over the role of Yasser Arafat. And then, if this happens, we will see perhaps the revival of peace process with President Bush and other people's roadmap and so on. So things look fairly hopeful for the Palestinian election.
Well, hopeful because for the first time, without Arafat being at the head, the Palestinians have a chance to elect a different leadership. And certainly there had been many charges of corruption in the administration of Yasser Arafat.
That's right. What is happening is a generational change among the Palestinians. Yasser Arafat packing a pistol, the great revolutionary, that was old hat. The younger ones, even the Hamas, which are very militant, I want to see a fresh approach, and that is hopeful.
What about the beloved image of Arafat as Abu Ammar, a leader, an icon?
He's an icon, but an icon who can be put up on a pedestal to get him out of the way.
We come to the American election, certainly one that engaged the electorate as never before, record turnout on both sides of the aisle in the political parties.
That is worth noting because we've had a series of elections and each time the turnout gets to be less and less. This time it went up. It went up to about 60%, which for the United States and for people who don't want to be disturbed to go to the polls is pretty good. It is true. There's been greater participation by the voter this year than for many a year.
Why was that?
I think there were things that engaged Americans and made them, there wasn't the economy. Oddly enough, it didn't seem to be the war in Iraq, although some of them thought maybe we shouldn't be there, but nobody seemed to get terribly upset about it. The job picture improved some, but not enough to really make a very profound difference. I'm afraid that what was probably the most important factor was social and cultural issues. This question, are you for or against abortion? Are you for or against gay marriage? These things seem to register a great deal. And a religious influence. President Bush staked his reelection on people knowing that he was a man of God. And that apparently worked with evangelicals and helped to give him his majority.
Do you think that was the dominant theme because we live in a time of post-9/11 fear or because we are becoming a more religious society?
I think that people look about what they can do and all the clever things and find they don't get satisfaction out of it. They don't feel that they can control the world or control their surroundings. And I think, indeed, that has put greater emphasis on a religious factor.
We come now to Iraq, which is still scheduled to have an election at the end of the month, an election, we must say, that has been threatened by bombs, by bullets, by the execution of election workers. We've seen people gunned down in the streets of Baghdad. What do you make of the attempt to hold this election in spite of all of this?
A great deal depends on whether the election will actually be held. Almost every week you find another group that says, postpone it, we don't go for it. Latest in Mosul, where some Islamic groups say that democracy is un-Islamic, so you can't really do very much with them. There have been increasing bombings and increasing attacks on the Iraqis who are working with the coalition. It becomes something about a cross fingers as to whether or not it will be even possible to hold an election that will mean anything. But if you don't, or if you postpone it, then it gets steadily worse. Then the insurgents become emboldened by that, and so they, I think, stuck with having to carry out their election whether or not they get a 90% turnout.
Perhaps we make all these reflections, Dan, feeling the weight of the great and devastating loss in our world this past week with the rising deaths from the tsunami. Was 2004 a particularly grim year?
It was very grim in the sense that the attempts to spread democracy, as in Iraq, had a lot to contend with. On the other hand, Afghanistan, things were going fairly well. But it's hard to single out one country or another to say what kind of a year it was. It was a very, very mixed year. Mm-hmm. It was a year where Americans felt for the first time that they were part of a world. President Bush is now, who had been the unilateralist before, now in his second term, appears to be bent on trying to be a peacemaker, the way President Reagan did in his second term. And I think I would hesitate to put it all in one capsule. In a way, we could say, hey, kiddo, we survived the year. Isn't that enough?
You talked about the president perhaps wishing to have a different legacy in his second administration from his first. What will you be looking at here at home in this next year, in 2005?
Oh, in the first place, how he deals with allies, I should almost say former allies. Things went very bad, France, Germany, Britain. Britain remained very much on his side. Tony Blair was a great supporter of his. But for the rest, it did not look very good in Europe or in very large parts of the world. He has since then made clear, after his reelection, that it's going to be different now, that he very soon will make a trip to Europe. He will really try to get the former allies on board. He has a marvelous opportunity to come together on this tsunami, which may be one of the small good things that come out of the tsunami. It is the one thing on which they can cooperate and not have to say, your policy is bad and your policy is good. It's only a matter of how much money. And the president, who first offered $35 million for tsunami relief, has suddenly brought that up to $350 million overnight, and the end is not yet.
Senior news analyst Daniel Shore, thank you very much for being with us today, Dan.
My pleasure, and a Happy New Year.